boys and girls and nerds of all ages, I present to you the Notion Nerd Podcast. Presented by two British nerds with a rubbish sense of humor who talk about all things nerdy like Notion and productivity, the excitement will be unbearable.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Notion Nerds Podcast. We are back as of today when we're recording. We actually now are on Spotify and all the platforms.
It's exciting stuff. It's exciting stuff. And so I've been listening to Spotify for I don't know how long, and like having my voice come out of a Spotify app, it's quite scary. But for those of you that are not aware, I broke my microphone a couple of weeks ago, so I'm holding my mic. So if I drop my mic, then that's probably what you're going to hear. And if it does start moving around, then I apologize for anyone that does the audio in the back end. But yeah, so if the audio is good, then make sure you leave us a review and say, yep, audio is fine, I can still hear you both.
Yes, if not, please do that.
If not, then please bitch.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you haven't seen us before, my name is Jonathan Stewart. I'm a simplicity consultant and I make tea. Yeah, I'm a PP today. I am PPing on the whole new level here by having an actual intro. Anyway, I'm a simplicity consultant. My job is to make your business and life more simple so that you can focus on the things you really want to do instead of trying to do all of the things. And my co-host is going to introduce himself.
I am. All of the things. I like it. I'm Danny Hatcher. I am a content creator on YouTube, helping creators essentially get... What are you giggling about?
On YouTube?
Okay. Full disclaimer, I woke up 19 minutes ago now, so my voice is still in I need to wake up mode. That was my fault. I just slept straight through my alarm. Yes, I'm going to be honest about it. I slept through my alarm. This stuff happens. But yeah, I'm a YouTube creator that helps other creators sort... What is your problem, Jonathan?
Carry on.
You're just laughing at YouTube. Hey. Is that because you don't make videos?
Hey, I got 3 videos ready to go.
Okay, fair enough.
They would have been recorded by now if you showed up on time.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that. I will take that. But I will finish off what I was saying. I help other creators get organized. I'll leave it there. Notion is the tool that we choose to use, hence Notion Nerds. So the topic today is, Jonathan.
The topic today is Notion Purist, which is what Danny is. And it's about those people who... Notion has a really beautiful community that has lots of people wanting to help expand Notion so it can do everything that it can do for everybody. Because Notion is an app that's an all-in-one workspace. It's used by different people in different ways. And it's a huge range of people. And it's quite exciting. So often there are people who are creating loads of different apps. Danny here is a Notion purist. He does not use anything that is not... kind of part of Notion's own system. He doesn't do anything else. He has no unofficial integrations. He doesn't use any widgets. I don't think you use any widgets, do you?
No. I don't even have embeds. Like the extent of embeds in my space is YouTube videos. And then meeting embeds going to Gmail or Crowdcast or something like that. That's the extent of my extensions going anywhere. I don't have embeds. I don't have add-ons. I don't have extensions. I don't use the better so-called Clipper. I don't use that either. I don't use the unofficial API. I don't use the Notion Enhancer. I don't use Indify. I don't use any of the color changes, any of the add-ons. No, I'm just, if it's native in Notion, I use it.
I think they got the message.
Yeah, I tried to list as much of the stuff that's out there as possible, but I'm sure I've missed something.
Yeah, and it goes without saying that everything we're going to talk about today is our own personal opinion on this topic. We both love Notion, we both enjoy Notion, but we both have different needs for Notion, and what we say is just what we think in terms of all of the Notion APIs. It's nothing I can tell Danny's going to get in this het up mood today, so it's going to be fun.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I can't move around as much because I'm holding the microphone, so I can't talk with my hands. So I may be a little bit less energetic, which could be a benefit.
Nah, it's boring.
That's true. It's a bit like on a live stream when you said you were going to do it by yourself. Nah, that'd be boring.
Yeah, it would be. Okay, so let's start with... Where do you want to start? We could go any direction here.
I think the best place to start is the API, because it's the thing that everyone wants to talk about first. And it's what everyone asks about. It's what everyone wants. And I think there's three unofficial APIs now, because there's the Python one. There's the other one that I've seen that hardly anyone uses. And then there's the one that was created by the French people. Are they French?
Created by the French.
I couldn't remember if they were French, Spanish, or I knew they were from Europe, but I don't pay attention to all that stuff. You know that.
Yes, they are created.
It's not native in Notion, I don't care.
Small French team.
Okay.
Who created Notion automations. So for me, I didn't use any of the automations up until what's called Notion automations was kind of bought in. Notion automation goes directly into an app called Zapier, which I nerd out about every single day because it gives me the ability to connect multiple apps for my clients, because I do a lot of tech work, who have multiple apps at once and connect them together. And so the power of Notion automations versus the other two more, I suppose, developer-y apps, professional terminology there, is the fact that it's already got an internet integration with Zapier, which is where most no-code people go to connect different apps together. And it's certainly where I go. I have a basic understanding of code, but yeah.
That might be why I haven't looked at Zapier at all, because I don't use any other apps. I don't use them, so I don't need them, so I don't need any integration. The only integration I would ever use, I think at the moment anyway, is with Google Calendar. But I already have all of my events in Notion because I schedule through Calendly. I have to look at the email on Calendly to see what they want to talk about. And while I'm there, I just copy paste it into Notion. And that's like a 3-second thing. It's the same as scrolling past the frigging properties.
We'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the point is that at your stage of your business, because you're relatively early on,
I'm an individual. I will add that as well. Like
you are an individual, and not just that, you don't have a huge clientele yet. Note the yet, people. Like you will grow your business. And as you get bigger and bigger, when you're trying to do like 8-9 calls in a day, those 3 seconds start to add up.
Potentially. I think it depends how you shape your business, how you build your business, where you build it from. Because if you restrict yourself to, say, I don't know, 3 calls a day or a certain time limit a day, then you're restricting the amount of clients you can have. And I would imagine you can then push the price up, because if you've got high demand, you can just push the price up to get rid of that demand, which we know people in business do. So I think it depends how I would want to manage my business moving forwards when, if that does happen.
Because I know that your client calls have suddenly upped.
The client calls have upped, but it's not drastic. It's not drastic. It's less of a client call and more of just continual client calls. So previously I was having 3-4 calls a week. I know that's not much, but 3-4 calls a week, and they were all from different people.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting 3-4 calls a week, but they're from the same people.
So it's
like continual conversation. So rather than it be I'm just going to hop on the call, answer some questions, and then leave the call, I'm going to hop on the call. We're going to carry on a conversation that may carry on a little bit longer, because they may have booked a longer call. So it's not necessarily frequency increased, but the conversations are more in depth because the people I'm talking to, I've worked with them a couple of times.
That's fascinating. I still think in a few years' time, it'll be interesting to revisit this episode to see whether actually you will If we're still doing this, of course. Yeah.
I was going to say, years. That's a lot of podcast episodes.
I know, but we batch tasks.
Yep. That's
and
what
for
we're
people
doing,
on the audio, I just did a overexcited thumbs up with a big smiley grin. There you go, for the audio listeners in the audio world, because we're now on Apple Podcasts. Apple accepted our podcast.
Because we are PPs. Professional podcasters.
I think everybody could come up with multiple other words for that, beginning with PP.
PewDiePie.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, I'm glad we were both thinking the same thing.
That's why when I first said it, I was like, am I stealing that from PewDiePie? No, because it's professional podcasters. But then I can't think of another one to use. We'll have to think of another one, because Ninners doesn't sound cool.
Ninny.
We're ninnas. Notion nerds, we're ninnas. Okay. Notion enhancer. Next topic of conversation. Unless you've got something else to add onto the API stuff.
Well, we can talk about the API for ages. I really could just nerd out about the API, but I think it's good to cover the Notion enhancer.
So I've known about the Notion enhancer for months. I don't know when it was actually it's been a while, because they've had lots of different iterations of it. I don't know whether it was always called the Notion enhancer or whether it was just an add-on someone put in and then they became, I don't know if it is a team or just one or two devs or whatever it is.
I think it's a crowdsourced, like everyone adds things in there to help. I think it, from what I understood from the GitHub, there's like multiple different developers adding multiple different things, some with theming, some with like quality of life features. And yeah.
Yeah. And looking at all of the features on the stream and then after stream, there were lots of things that were nice, but I think they were that. I don't want to say this and make it sound bad. I think they were directed at a specific friction point.
Yeah, I feel that. I agree, because I was looking at it after stream as well. So we the stream just gone.
That's on the Notion Nerds YouTube channel.
On the new Notion Nerds channel, we actually went through it and saw the little points. I mean, personally, I didn't find the style scripts very useful at all. Like, I didn't see the point of making it look pretty for the sake of it. But you and I are both really boring. But the features they were adding, like automatically opening to a full page, I realized when I started thinking about that would disrupt my workflow like hell.
Yeah. It's a very specific friction point. If someone doesn't want those things, or someone does want those things, then it solves them. But if you only want them at certain times in certain places, or you may not want them, I don't know how the enhancer works, but can you just switch it on and off all the way through?
I think so. Yeah, there's a bit on the sidebar where you just press a button and turn it on and off. But yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird one, isn't it? I love the idea of having more customizability and being able to do that. And the fact that Notion have said that they don't mind that being the case as well. Because I know many apps are very anti, I suppose, modding, because that's literally what they're doing. They're modding Notion itself.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that Notion is supporting user style scripts and nerdy stuff like that. That I really do respect Notion for allowing that. But my big fear, I think more particularly with that feature rather than the API, because the API is very much in the back end and there's not really much we can do about the API. I am sure that it's on its way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christmas pending.
Well, as of literally last week, on the week we were recording this, is it Camilla?
Camilla and Ivan.
And Ivan, both of them posted that it was coming this month or next month. So hopefully, people in the future, you are enjoying the Notion API and nerding out with me. Alongside all the other upcoming features, which I'm so excited about. But yeah, that's beside the point.
It is actually funny. Obviously, you said nerding out with you, and it will be with you, because I don't see... for me, with when the API comes out, obviously I'm going to do a video on it. Like, I can't not. But I still don't see where I would use it, when I would use it, how I would use it. Obviously, depending on the restrictions and stuff when it comes out as for the first thing or the beta and the rest of it. But
I think primarily it will be used to for note taking. I think that's where it become really powerful, to be able to forward a note via email to be added to your notebook, to your notes database. That'd be pretty useful.
I've heard that from the Evernote people that have come over. How do you get the note into your email? Why would you put it in your email for Notion? I'm lost with that.
Well, it basically what it normally is, say someone emails you with some tasks to complete.
Right.
You need to add that into your task database, but you haven't got time to do it now. So what you would do is you would push it into your notes database to capture later. And then just go, oh, cool, I need to look at this email and reply to this. This, I think, would once again apply more to Teams than you, Danny, because you just took your own email. But for me, say, for example, in the very near future, I get some tasks sent to me via email for people who didn't understand the memo of please just use Notion, or were not comfortable with Notion, or something happened to Notion that day. And so they emailed it to me instead. Rebecca would be able to forward that straight to an email, and it would go straight into my inbox to look at later.
Okay. I was going to say, with Teams, if Teams are in Notion, then you wouldn't need the email. But if you're in a situation similar to that, I guess that can come in handy. But that's a very, very unique, I would say, use case.
For if you, yes, because you don't work in a team.
But if you've got a team that aren't working in Notion that want to send the tasks over using email... I mean, I guess if you're getting stuff from clients and you want to make a task from a client, then
that's what I mean.
That's more common. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that happening. But again, I guess it depends what clients you're working with. Because if you're working with clients that use Notion, they'll quite happily go into Notion and do it.
You'd be surprised, actually. Sometimes it's just sending information over that I need to reply to at a later date. Or if, for example, I work for a membership company where they build memberships for people, and the membership is hosted inside of a platform, and I may get a reply that I need to respond to inside of that community. And thanks to, that's an interesting thing I'm going to go and I'm going to play with in a bit.
Taking it from the community to an email to the...
No, I could take it directly from the community itself. If someone tags me in a post, I hope I can do that. Mighty Networks. You better do that. Anyway, take it, say, for example, someone tags you in a post, and then that could be added directly into your Notion so that you could go and view that. Same with Facebook. Same with, not Facebook, because Facebook doesn't have that, but still.
Go on, get in your soapbox.
And my brain is just going, oh. I think it really does apply more to business owners, which is, of course, the direction I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But content creation, your stats, your YouTube nerdy geeky stats. Imagine being able to just load Notion and see the stats.
If I could get all of YouTube stats into Notion, that'd be great. If not, there's no point.
Well, you could.
Do you know how much stats are in YouTube?
Yeah. No. I know there's a lot, but you would only look at the main stats, wouldn't you?
Which ones do I pick? In YouTube, I can filter for whatever I want. I can sort for whatever I want, and I can go forwards and backwards however far I want. So even if you export the data as a Google Sheet, for example, which you can already do in YouTube, you export that and bring that into Notion, that's great. But then tomorrow, most of those numbers are going to change because YouTube's always going, so it's dynamic. So yes, you'd need an API to have that dynamic. But having those numbers alone... that don't mean much, you'd need a graph. You'd need a graph or a chart, which Notion doesn't have. Yeah. Unless you're really good at seeing information through numbers, it's just going to be a sheet of numbers.
True.
And being able to move through the different screens, you'd have to spend a lot of time setting up a dashboard that makes sense, and it won't be as powerful as YouTube's analytics in themselves, because with YouTube, when you're going through all of the analytics, for those that don't understand what I'm talking about, that aren't creators, I am going to do a video on my channel going through my analytics to explain some of this stuff. But when you're going through all of that, you then want to go, oh, okay, well, when is my audience on? Well, that's a different set of data. And if you import that into Notion, again, that's another database. Okay, my audience is on this time. What's my CTR for these types of videos, for these groupings?
Okay, nerd. Right, all right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. I suppose YouTube is...
With the amount of stats, no. Other platforms, potentially.
Thank you. There we go. Like your website analytics.
Like what?
Website analytics to know conversion rates. Like, for example, payments from Gumroad. You could export that automatically into your Notion to be able to track finances.
I could, but I don't see why I would.
What about your KPIs and JKLM and the P's?
Actually, talking about that, you know, I said I was working on something last night.
No.
It wasn't a KPI or OKR type thing. I don't even know what I guess it's a goal, but it's not a goal. It's a financial breakdown to see what I need to do in weeks, months, quarters to get a yearly goal. And yeah, I was being like uber nerdy with it. And if there's a way to make API automations work inside Notion databases to give us automations in there, that would be great. But that's not an API thing. That's an automations thing.
I could do that eventually. I think on the first launch, it won't be able to do that, I don't think.
No. I reckon there's going to be a lot of, not necessarily restrictions with the first launch, but they've got to be careful what they release to start with. Because if they release everything, then all hell breaks loose with the developers and stuff that are in Notion. I mean, you can see what they're doing when they don't have access. What are they going to do when they get access?
Yeah, they like it. It's nice. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's going to be mad. So I'm thinking about the Indify embed, right? Because that's still an enhancer add-on type thing.
I don't personally see it as an add-on enhancer. Personally, I just think it's nice.
It's taking data from Notion and displaying it in a different way, isn't it?
No.
Is it not? Is it just its own separate thing then?
It is its own separate thing, which you embed as it's yeah.
Oh, is it like Miro and Whimsical and the rest of that then?
It's on a similar wavelength, but a bit better than that because it takes, like, you can have your Google Calendar embedded inside of your Notion.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, I don't use Google Calendar, so there's that. Well, by the time this episode goes out, I think other people will have moved potentially away from Google Calendar as well. Not a lot, but I reckon some people will have, because a lot of people that use Google Calendar, individuals anyway, go there because of time blocking. They go there because of time blocking or the weekly view, which by the time this is released, potentially there may be some things in Notion that bring them back in. Obviously,
Rebecca,
there are.
We're now going to go talk about this. Liaise with me to make sure it's safe to publish. It should be, because I'm already planning content on this. Basically, what he's talking about is the brand new, newly released, unreleased feature right now. But by the time this podcast goes live, there will be a timeline view.
Yes, that's what I was hinting at, because it's pitched to go out on the 10th. I don't know whether it's going to be the 10th or the 17th, but they've said it's 10th and they've almost cemented it. But with that ability, you can time block. And you can see the weekly view. Yes, the time blocking is a bit odd, having it like horizontal rather than vertical. So it's a preference thing, I think, for people's views, but it may bring some people away from the Google Calendar. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But it's definitely a nice view to have.
If we're going to go there, we're going to go even further with this. And we're going to talk about hiding properties. Oh, I can't wait.
When they added that in, because I've already recorded the video, I'm like, I gotta add that. I gotta add that into the video. Hiding from. I mean, so at the point we're at, there's a couple of things that are like a little bit irritating, but oh, it's so nice.
It is. It's so refreshing to be able to just hide some problems. And like for user, like the UI of that, being able to hide properties, it's going to be so great for onboarding new people into systems like ours, which are like really nerdy and have stupid fucking formulas and roll-ups and things that most people won't care about or understand, but they sure as hell will love to see it on the front graph view or the front image view that you would see. It's like, oh.
And you can hide the backlink and commenting sections.
Thank fuck.
Maybe that's what they were holding out on. They wanted the backlinks to be functional before they hid all the properties so they could include the backlinks in there. Who knows?
but I'm so glad it's there. And by the time this episode goes out, it should be. If not, we'll just postpone the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, and something that, well, this is 2 weeks' time, so even if this is, it'll be like, even if it is delayed for 2 weeks, it'll still be after. Anyway, so with the hiding the properties, what this also means is you can obviously have more properties, and because of the feature where you can hide it if it's empty, what I'm thinking of doing is creating more customization within formulas. So, for example, at the moment with my batching of stuff, I could have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, third, Friday, Sunday and hide all of those. But if I want to change it, I can just change a select property to script and edit or edit and record or whatever. So I could change my day dependent on a property rather than have to go inside the formula every fucking time because I can hide the properties.
Yeah, there's like so much potential now. It's kind of a little bit too exciting. I was looking at it yesterday and I was just like, even just with my very simple setup right now, because Rebecca's still learning Notion. And it's just like,
How long has she been learning Notion? I know she's going to be listening to this.
You're going to get a slap and you're going to deserve it.
I'm just curious, how long has she been learning Notion?
She doesn't dive too deep into Notion because, of course, that's my thing. So that's why. But she can nerd out about
You're not giving an answer. You're just being political.
I am.
You're just being political. I mean,
no, it's just the fact that she doesn't need to dive into Notion because she's too busy doing all the other tasks for me.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. It's just I guess properties for me from the people I've worked with is one of the first things they ask about.
Oh yeah, no, she understands how properties work, but being able to just like keep the formulas out of the way and stuff like that, and also,
oh, so she will understand then. It's yeah, okay.
Deeper stuff. It when Rebecca loves to dive deep into stuff as well.
Okay, you made that sound. I mean, maybe this was me understanding it, but you made that sound as if she didn't really understand the application much at all. And I was like, she must understand it to an extent. I mean, she tags me and moans about me in chat, so.
Going to get such a slap.
A virtual slap, yes. Well, I've just woken up, so I'm in a salty mood. But yeah.
She got me in a stabbing mood.
Editor's note, Rebecca hears everything and forgets nothing. Be careful, nerds.
I'm just going to see a load of knives when I go to Notion. Yep. What were we talking about? We were talking about properties, hiding properties. So when it comes to the hiding of the properties inside the databases, there are lots of nice things. And I can see myself using it a lot, but I'm going to have to work out what I want to see, what I don't want to see, and when and where. And this kind of brings us back to the integration stuff. Those people that have the unofficial hide property script stuff that they've used from Java and Python and rest of it, what is that going to do when the update comes out? I don't know how code and stuff works behind the scenes. Do they have to remove that for the update to work? Is it going to affect the update? Is it going to affect the speed of Notion if it's got two things trying to do the same thing?
It will probably affect the speed of Notion, definitely. Because also Notion doesn't really let anyone outside of us know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's an interesting concept. That is one of the big, I suppose, risks. Oh, hang on. That is one of the big risks of you. That is one of the big risks.
That's because he stepped away from the microphone.
I got to make sure I'm close because otherwise I get told off. So I'm just like,
I'm going to eat my microphone.
I worry. My microphone.
You have to move your body. I just got to move my hand because my microphone is just superior.
No, your microphone is broken.
I am a budgeted creator, okay?
I just realized what I gave Rebecca permission to do.
What?
You know that voice that I showed you in episode 4 or 5?
Yeah.
That's going to be her voice so she can input into anything we say.
Cut that bit. Don't let that bit go. I mean, she's going to hear it anyway because she'll be the one cutting it. She'll be like, nope, I'm keeping that in. And her voice can just be, she'll be inputted. Oh, dear. Yeah.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about the possibility that the Notion will be slowed down because of... pointed at me.
Yes. That is the risk when you're using third-party stuff that isn't officially supported. There is that risk of it being, of it breaking Notion, slowing Notion down, which, let's be honest, we do not need Notion to slow down anymore. So it's the case of it's balancing the risk versus the reward of it. And also with the unofficial Notion automations right now, it's not perfect. I do have to sometimes pop in there and just redo the zap because it's not worked. But overall,
that's manual processing. That comes down to trusting your system. And if you don't trust your system.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You're very right, but I'm experimenting and testing it because I know of multiple clients of mine who would benefit from this.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely saying it's a plus. It's a good thing, but you need to be able to trust it.
Yeah, and I won't use it for anything that is very much like I must have it in there. Like if I don't have this information in here, it will break what I do. Until the official API comes in, I will not have that information in and I will always be testing it. I am road testing a few little ideas because I'm testing the project and testing how it works.
Road testing. Get it? Road, because the mic, road testing. Sorry, that was really bad. That was a Rode microphone just for audio.
We both have Rode microphones and that was supposed to be a joke. My own children could create better jokes than that one.
I don't hear you making any jokes.
No.
Because you don't need to, because mine are that bad.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Okay, so...
carry on.
When I'm testing... So at the moment, for example, one of the things that I'm testing is a new product, which gives me a perfect opportunity to test to see how it would work if I had I suppose it's not a mission critical because we're doing a lot of manual stuff right now, but I'm testing out how the integration between Typeform and Notion would work, being able to take things from a Typeform form and putting it into a Notion database. But I have separated the Notion database out and isolated it so that it can't break any of my systems. Going back to episode 1, the play page, it's on a play page as such, just so that I can test it out and have a go with it. Until then, the official API comes out, I will not be putting mission critical information in there. I already, for this idea that I'm testing out, which is like launching a whole product in a day and setting up and doing all the automations and tech for it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Doing all the tech in a day, I don't need to have all that information because Typeform will send it as an email anyway. So it's not mission critical. It is a humongous bonus because then I can just open this up and it comes with their name and has all the data in there and I get really nerdy and excited. But outside of that, I don't need to see that data because it's already emailed to me in a backup. And this goes on to say, even when the official API does come out, you need to be
safe
and you need to have a backup. Which I suppose leads on to your point of like not using it at all. Mm-hmm. But we're going to pause right there because I'm being yelled at.
Editor's note, no one needs to listen to Jonathan being yelled at. Again.
Right, where were we before we...
Huh?
Before we were interrupted.
We were talking about something really important and I was making silly noises, so I forgot what we were talking about.
Oh yeah, road.
That was a while ago. You know what you could have done? You could have gone back in the recording and seen what we were looking at, what we were looking at, what we were talking about. We were talking about the speed of Notion, how it will drop with extensions.
Yes. And also whether it would be supported on all platforms, because I know that the Notion Enhancer doesn't work on Mac.
Oh, does it not?
Supposedly, I've seen that mentioned in a couple of posts that is not supported on Mac. So that's quite fascinating.
Then we started talking about properties.
Ooh, yes, the nerdy property.
Yeah, because we started talking about the properties and how they could be useful. I'm trying to remember where the conversation went. And with these conversations, because they're so off the cuff, there's literally no planning. I don't have any notes up. John, you may have some notes up, but I don't. It's just, let's just talk.
Well, you showed up like 2 hours late, so...
No, you don't tell everyone that.
Well, I just did.
Yeah, okay, fine.
The hiding property is... Let's go back to the hiding properties thing. And if we've just covered the same shit again, then people who listen to this podcast know by now that's what they deal with.
Or you could get your lovely VA to remove the stuff that's inappropriate.
True.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I imagine when she's going through it, she's going to be like, well, I've heard this already. Why would I want to hear it again?
I have noticed something.
What?
We've avoided that word.
That word?
Yeah.
Purist?
Yeah. What?
Purist?
No.
What word?
Like.
Oh, no, Daniel, I haven't even thought about it.
No, me neither. And now Rebecca's literally going to put a comment in here saying, actually, they've said like 57 times.
Probably.
And we'll deserve it.
Yes. Well, you will deserve it because you pointed that out. I hadn't even thought about it, considered it. So, yeah, there's that. I swear there was something else that... There was something else with the API integrations and automations. Yes, I'm holding my nose. It's I can't sit still. I've got a microphone in my hand. I can't move my hands. I'm restricted. I feel like I'm caged in because I can't move around like a maniac.
I'm in a cage.
You moved away from the mic. You have to say that again.
No, I don't. I was looking at my audio. It clipped. That's why I leant back.
Okay. Okay, yeah, mine doesn't even like move above 0.5. Is it dBs this is in? I don't know. Whatever Audacity, it doesn't change. I can shout just like that, and it went to 0.7. So I don't know whether that's microphones recording really quiet or something. I don't know. I don't know audio. All I know is
yeah, it's probably recording really quietly. But I get told off for recording too quietly, so now I'm recording a bit louder. But it's too loud. It's either too loud or too quiet. So.
This is really good Notion stuff right there.
I know, right? So what do you need to see? What would you need to see to leave the Notion purist?
Something that is going to affect a friction point that I have. Basically. So it's got to obviously positively, ideally, affect a friction point I have. The only friction point, I guess, I could potentially say is a friction point, it's not at the moment, is the emails. You put your finger up. Not up your nose this time, though.
How can a friction point negatively affect you? How can you negatively affect a friction point? That's a double negative.
I wasn't really paying attention to what I was saying. I was trying to think about ways of saying... Like, I was trying to think about things that an API could help me with.
So welcome to the Notion Nerds podcast, where Danny doesn't think about what he's saying.
You really think I think about what comes out of my mouth? Literally, it's like, if it goes into my head, it comes out of my mouth. There is no censor. no sensor. That is why when I'm doing the when I was doing the live streams on my channel, I had to think so hard about what I was saying. But yeah, so when it comes to what I would potentially need, I don't have a friction point. I just don't have a friction point at the moment that an API would solve. My friction points are: give me inline formulas, give me formulas that can reference other freaking pages. Make the roll up show as a date property.
Please make the roll up show as a date property.
Maybe with my calendar linking Google Calendar, but I don't use my Google Calendar, so it wouldn't.
But the question is, do you not use Google Calendar because it doesn't integrate with Notion?
I don't use it because it's another app. When I'm looking at my to-do list to see my calendar, I scroll and then I see the calendar, and that's me done, rather than having to go on another application. And it's the same with almost everything else. I don't use other applications to do anything, really. I mean, I use obviously Gumroad to do the selling, but that's just selling. I used ConvertKit at the moment to do the emails, but I don't send that many emails. So at the moment in my workflow, it has very little impact. I mean, from a business standpoint, it was I need to start an email list, so I will do this thing. So I start the ball rolling rather than I'm going to actively use this thing. Maybe when I start actively using it, I may find a friction point or a use, but I know ConvertKit has a lot of automations in its own software and in the old application to do a lot of the stuff. So I wouldn't need Notion to do it.
Well, what about stat tracking? Because you do like you really are someone who likes the stats.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just in YouTube you like your stats, is it? It's kind of externally, Twitter as well, or is that not so much?
I use the stats, I use the engagement, I use everything on social media to help data-driven decisions, essentially, to help drive decisions that I make further on. But I don't keep track of all of the data anywhere outside of the application, because all of those applications, they're dynamic. So less with Facebook and Twitter, but if something does suddenly just shoot up, I want to be able to see that day by day or hour by hour. In YouTube, it does that automatically in Dynamics and stuff. So I can look at my stats and go, oh, this video I posted 3 months ago is suddenly doing really well. Let's pivot and do something about that. Or Facebook or Twitter, oh, this post suddenly shot up. Let's try and leverage that or use that. For tracking those stats inside of Notion, it would be much more of a superficial roundup type stat collecting. Like, these are my subscriber count, this is my follow account, which I have in Notion. And I guess I could automate that process, but I like going in at the beginning of every month and going, how many subs have I got? How many followers have I got? How many this have I got? I like the manual process of doing that because it's just a once a month thing that takes a couple of minutes. And I like to be able to see and go, oh, actually, I've got that thing, or I haven't got that thing, or I've got this much. If I make that automated, which I guess is one of those things with automation, if I make it automated, there's less thinking behind whatever it is.
Hmm.
So yeah, I guess the question when it comes to automation is, do I need to think about that process? I guess it comes back to the Clipper. So with the Notion Clipper, I use the Notion Clipper, not the advanced extension. What is it? I had the icon in my head, but I can't remember the name of it. What's it called?
I think it's like Better Notion Clipper or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I don't use it because it's going to take my clip straight to the database, straight to the tagged database.
Save to Notion, it's called.
And I don't like that because it takes away my thought process of processing the note. I think we've spoken about this before, but I like clipping something and then reflecting, going, actually, do I want that as a note? And if I use the Save to Note Clipper, it does all of that for me and it takes my thought process away.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying something like that. I'm not sure whether it's on the live stream or whether it was on this, but yeah.
So automations take away thought process, which is the idea of automations. So my question isn't necessarily, do I want an automation? It's, do I not want to think about this thing and the automation solve it?
So what about when it comes to managing? So for another reason why I would do automations is adding clients that I'm working with. Would you find value in adding your clients automatically? Because at the moment, I assume you do it manually.
With two buttons, yeah. Add client, add template, done.
Hmm.
And most of those clients, there is the decision process as to where I put them. You know what I mean? So some clients are just a case of I've spoken to them once, like I've had a call. So when I add the client, I'll add the client, add the template, and then just go through things. If it's a different type of client, like a longer term client, then there's three other buttons I need to push. So that makes five button pushes, but it's all set up because there's, if it's a longer client, then it's not just one meeting done and then just let's see if we have another meeting, like the resell upsell type stuff afterwards. There's a process of booking meetings out. So I push a button to generate all the tasks and meetings, and it's just a case of dragging the meeting in when we organize it. I don't like automating the meeting process with a client because if you've automated that process, one, it takes the thinking out of it, and two, it cements a time span. Sometimes they want to have the call earlier or want to have the call later, which requires manual editing. So if you've put it in for a date, you're going to have to change that date if they want to change it. So I prefer to talk with them to work out what date works best for them for the first, for the second, etc. But that's a conversation processing thing.
So what's the point of your Calendly then?
Purely just to book out the time slots. The Calendly is just, book out the time slots and paying. I like they pay through Calendly. So they pay through Calendly and to book out the time slots for, so my Google Calendar is essentially like I call it an invisible calendar. Yeah. It's an invisible calendar. It's something I don't see, but I know it's there. And my Google Calendar tracks all my meetings, my external meetings, business meetings. And Calendly is linked with that. So I can see, it can tell my clients when I'm available, when I'm not available, and it blocks things out for them. So rather than me sending them an email saying, I'm available this time, this time, this time, this time, and then I have to adapt it because someone's booked a meeting, Calendly does all of that for me. So yeah, it sorts out the scheduling. It sorts out making sure I don't double book myself with the invisible calendar being Google Calendar. Calendly also sorts with the payment stuff and with the initial questioning, like just a couple of questions beforehand so I know what the client wants, what they're going to talk about, and that sort of thing. That's what Calendly does for me. Notion can't do, I mean, I guess a Notion form could do that, but then the Notion form would have to be linked with Google Calendar to make sure I don't double book myself. But then essentially you're recreating something like Calendly or Acuity is the other one, I think.
Yeah.
You'd have to recreate that inside of Notion, which is that would just be a lot of hassle work, and I don't think it would work the same, and you definitely wouldn't be able to do payments through Notion.
No, not a chance.
So it just makes more sense to use Calendly or Acuity, depending on which one you're using, for that. And it sends me an email, and I get all that information in the email from Calendly, which I'm going to look at. I'm not going to have a meeting and not look at the email because it's got the questions on it. I want to know what they've asked about, what they want to talk about, things like that, so I can prep for the meeting. And my prep for the meeting goes in my meetings page in Notion. And if I'm going to go in the meetings page in Notion, I might as well just copy and paste the URL because I'm going there anyway.
But what if you could just have the URL straight in there?
I mean, it saves a click, control C, click, control V.
But every click counts.
If I wasn't going to make notes in the meeting, so if it was a meeting already planned out,
yeah,
then that would make sense. But I get like one or two of those. most of the time I need to look at the meeting and go, what are you talking about? What are you trying to do? Because obviously Notion, I can get a vastly different meetings. I can have a meeting about one thing and then the next meeting be like turn on its head. Like different levels of understanding of Notion and different applications of what they're trying to do, different questions, different scenarios, different environments. It's so drastically different between meeting and meeting that I need to know what I'm going to be talking about. Otherwise I'm going to turn up in the first 10 minutes. It's going to be me fumbling around myself, which is not professional or good from any business standpoint. You want to go in knowing what you want to do. On, to be fair, with that, that does lead to some of the conversations being much shorter than planned, because some of the questions are very, because I know Notion, they're very quick to answer. If they've got a couple of questions and they've not necessarily explained it in the clearest of ways, we may need to book a call to understand what's going on. Once they've explained the scenario and I've seen the scenario, I can answer the question fairly quickly. But again, that's, I won't know that until I'm in the call. Yeah, which is why the automations, I can see its power, I can see its use, but in my workflow, I don't see it solving a friction point because I don't have one yet. Maybe in the future I will get a friction point, but I don't have one yet. And the thing with integrations and API integrations and the rest of it, right, is I know people that build their businesses off of paper and Word documents, right? Like they, I know it's not nice, but they can do it. And the fact that people build their businesses off paper and off documents shows that you don't even need Notion. I personally don't think I could go without Notion.
Blasphemy. you disgust.
But it's possible.
It is, of course it is. I'm being
sick. It's possible. And it's always that question, do I need this? Do I need this thing? And at the moment, no. You know you're not actually talking, you're just making faces.
Yes.
Okay. So it's the same with all the other applications. I'm going to use, I don't know, ClickUp for project management, Todoist for task management, Notion for note-taking. Why? do you need it? Maybe that works for you, but do you need it? And is it causing friction points, which I found in a lot of cases it does cause friction points, whether that is just embedding your Todoist into Notion and having that work seamlessly. That can be a bit of an issue sometimes with people transferring their notes from Notion to tasks or Notion to projects or linking them up between other applications. I know that takes time. Time is a friction point, which is why obviously we use Notion. But yeah, do I need the automation? Do I need the add-on? Do I need the enhancer? No.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Notion Nerds podcast. That pretty much ended that, didn't it?
Well, I mean, for me, yeah, it was just no. That's why I am a purist.
Yeah, and I can definitely support that, but I feel that as your business grows, you may find that getting harder.
I think it depends how my business grows, because there are
It's very much how you want your business to grow.
And there are directions that I want it to grow in that is going to take a lot of work and a lot of time. And I don't see automations playing much of a role in that. But we'll have to see, because
I'm looking forward to this and I'd love to revisit this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same. And I reckon, I don't know, March next year would be a good sort of like good point to sort of go, where's the business at? How is it running? How is it working? Are you using integrations? Because fingers crossed by then, the API will have been out and we will have been able to experiment and work things out.
Yeah.
I may have the API in there just for the sake of having it in there. I haven't done that with backlinks.
Really,
so.
Like detailed, really powerful message was just trashed by what you just said.
Yep.
I just don't think that I'm going to need to use it, because there's not going to be a friction point for me. And if there's not a friction point for me, why will I use it?
But I might just have it in there for the sake of having it in there. Yep. Well, okay. The thing is, as a Notion creator, right? I get asked questions. As a Notion creator, I get asked questions about things in Notion I don't use. You asked, I think it was on the last podcast episode, do you have Notion on your phone? Yes. Do you use it? No. Why do you have it there? Because when people ask me about stuff on the phone, I can go on there. I don't have an iPad, so I can't answer those questions. I don't have a Mac, so I can't answer those questions. I don't use a board view, so I struggle answering those questions. I have to make a page in my scratch pad, make the board view, and then work out what they're talking about. Similar with the gallery view. I hardly use a gallery view. I hardly use most of the views in Notion. I use a calendar and a list.
Yes, we know. You like your list. Listy, list.
I use a calendar more than a list, but I use the... backlinks can go themselves. I don't use them at all anywhere.
I don't know. I don't know very many people who use the backlinks.
Saying that, I don't know whether she's listening, but Marie Paulin, I'm calling you out. On an office hours, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, so it'd be like 4 weeks ago, so about a month ago then. I can't remember who was on, but I asked, how do you use backlinks? And you said, that's going to be a whole office hours on its own, which gave me the idea, the understanding, the perception that you use backlinks. How? I'm guessing in front page templates, but how? How and where?
Didn't when we spoke about it back, I'm sure, on our live stream, she said she didn't.
Yeah, on the live stream, she said she didn't, which is why I asked it in the chat. I thought, oh yeah, because the person that she was talking with used backlinks. And I didn't want to be nasty in chat. So I said, Marie, how do you use backlinks? And she said, that's going to be a whole conversation like on its own. And I was like, does that mean you use backlinks? How? Ooh, tell me.
Fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. This is why, John, you need to be engaged in the Notion community, because you find these things out. You know, watching every YouTube video, being in every Notion group, actively engaging, answering questions, responding to comments on YouTube video. Oh, wait, you don't do this. But responding to... Well, you... Actually, do you want to respond to the comments on the Notion Nerds channel then? Have you seen the ones that I've hidden? Did you see the ones before?
Yeah.
Yep. Expect those to increase.
Yeah.
I went through my YouTube channel yesterday with the unread and the spam comments. I had 700 plus of just things that have been taken off because of my block words list. So people have put comments on there that have words in there. They're on my blocks word list. I'm not going to say what they are because then people won't use them. But yeah, so I've got words in there that it flags them up.
There's the template.
And then all of the things that have links and stuff going to external places. And most of those are just silly comments. But yeah, sifting through all those, one of the wonders of YouTube. I think that's a nice way to end it. Have you got anything else you want to add on?
No, I'm gonna be very intrigued to revisit this and see whether you do add in automations once it's officially announced, once it's officially released, and once it's...
I'm gonna put a caveat on there because I know people are gonna be like, oh, he uses them. I'm gonna put a caveat and say uses them in my workflow, not for the sake of it being there.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that was what he said. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this episode of the Notion Nerds podcast. And we will see you next time where we're going to talk about lots more. Really? What?
Review.
Oh, yes. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify telling us how amazing we are, as well as subscribe to the Notion Nerds YouTube channel, which will be included in the description as well. And follow us both on Twitter. Why, Danny? Just why?
People don't know what to do. I get very confused.
Why, Danny? Just why? Check out the YouTube version of this one, and you'll see why.
Jonathan Stewart, you've rebranded, haven't you? It is Jonathan Stewart now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You can still go to the business and Notion domain, but it is Jonathan Stewart.
Yep. So Danny Hatcher, Jonathan Stewart, everywhere.
Basically.
See you next time.
See you next time. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into another exciting episode of Notion Nerds Podcast. Leave a review or comment, and don't forget to subscribe on whichever channel you are using. And if you are interested, the nerd said like 94 times in this episode.